we're doing well. We had a little bit of spring fever yesterday. It was really, really nice out. Like, for the first time in months, I didn't have to wear a winter coat. So that is always a good thing. Hey, would you tell the person next to you, just wish them a good morning. If you're watching online, would you just type in good morning? Now I want you to go to your second person, your second choice, the person that you didn't turn to, and I want you to wish them a good morning as well. Hey, make sure tomorrow send Pastor Ed, some good text messages. It's his birthday tomorrow. He's in a little bit of different of a time zone change, so make sure that you don't send him too many messages too early in the morning. But hey, tomorrow is his birthday, so make sure that you tell him how much you appreciate him and glad that he can get away for his birthday and have a good time with his family. There's certain principles in our life that we sometimes we learn. There's lessons that we learn sometimes easier in life than others. There's times that sometimes it takes us the hard way in which to learn certain lessons, and sometimes it just takes us time to learn those lessons. And when I was in high school, I was probably what you would consider an average student. I was the type of student that would do just enough to get by, realizing that if I got D's and F's, those were bad. But if I was able to get C's, you know what? Everything at home was okay. It was great. It was fine, you know. And so I did about the bare minimum of what you could do in high school, just because I was like, why do I want to put the effort in for all this stuff? I'm not going to use algebra. I'm not going to use any of this stuff. I just don't need it. Everything I learned, and some of you kids can relate, you think that you know everything by the time that you're in third grade. And there's a lot of things you know by the time you're in third grade that are very important that you will use the rest of your lives. However, continuing on. And so some of the reasons in which I was able to pass probably certain ones in my classes was just because my neighbor was very intelligent and very willing to share their answers from time to time. But I was kind of an average student. And I just did enough to get by. I loved math because all the odd answers were in the back of the book. There's a guaranteed 50% right there, you know. And then all you had to do is try to figure out how to get 20% right, and it was good, right? There's my math kicking in, right? And so the principle of the matter and the idea of the matter was just enough just to kind of get by. And so I graduated high school, and I even entered in college, probably my first semester of college, and I was probably a lot like that. And then something clicked. I have no idea what it was. Maybe it was maturity. Maybe it was just something different. But I was sitting there, and I was like, you know, if I invest more into this, if I put more into this, it's probably going to benefit me more in the long run. And so I just started getting better grades and working harder and doing those things in which I never, that principle in life of I'm going to get what I put in, I'm going to get out what I put in, it never dawned on me really when I was in high school or in younger schools. But for some reason, again, it could be maturity, it could be a teacher, I don't really remember, but I just remember there was a distinct mark, a distinct time where I went from just getting by, just doing the work just to do it, and actually putting a little bit of heart and soul and effort into it. And I often wonder that sometimes in our lives, if we don't operate the same way when it comes to certain things, is we are not quite always investing in the things in which we should invest in. And so I want to start here by reading it out of Mark chapter 4. So if you have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Mark chapter 4, that is great. If you want to follow along on the screen, you are more than happy. But Jesus teaches this idea of three different types of soil, of which soil kind of are you? Where are you at? And so in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. There we go. Once again, too far. Here we go. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him. So we got into a boat, then he sat on the boat, and the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across the field, some of the seed fell on the footpath and the birds ate it. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Verse 7. Other seed fell among the thorns and grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. So other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much that has been planted. Then he said, anyone who has ears to hear should listen and understand. Verse 10, later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples, with the others we were gathered around, they asked him what the parable meant. Verse 13, then Jesus said to them, if you don't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all the other parables? The farmer plants the seed, taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message, only have Satan come and take it away. Verse 16, the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away, and as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word, the seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, the desire for other things. So no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on the good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as planted. So I want you to understand this kind of concept for a second. There is multiple different kinds of soil that are out there. And even in here within our church, they're probably in your life, you can relate to one of the soils. Our goal should be to be the good soil. Our goal should be to make sure that we're investing in things into our lives that's going to help allow an atmosphere for God to grow in our lives and you grow in our relationship with Him and go in that direction. But so oftentimes, we can probably relate to some of the other soils. And there's probably times in your life where right now you would say, you know what? Maybe this is the soil that I am right now. You know, I'm so worried about my finances. I'm so worried about the illnesses that I'm going through. I'm so worried about the stresses that my kids are causing. I'm so worried about this. And so your roots aren't really growing deep because you're so focused on something else in your life. And I wonder here, what is it right now in your life you're investing in? How are you making sure that you stay in the good soil? What can you do? Listen, it's all God working in your life and challenging you and changing you from the inside out. But what are you doing to make sure that you stay in the good soil, so you stay focused on Him, so you say that you're seeking Him first in all things? And so there's three basic principles when it comes to investing. And I mean, these are pretty important things just to kind of understand. But it takes direction. You have to know where you're going or what your goal is. Listen, you probably don't start projects, or you shouldn't start projects, with just intention in mind. Meaning this, if you have direction, if you know where you want to go at the end, you know what you want to accomplish, you know where it is that you should be going or what the goal is, you know, you're going to intend to go that direction. Your direction is going to get to where you want, not your intention. But however, we often rely on simply our intentions to get us where we want to go, and that's where we get in trouble. You know, a lot of you probably set out for New Year's resolutions and New Year's goals. And you said January 1st is going to be, you know, this is the year I'm going to do this. I'm going to read my Bible more. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to spend more time with my family. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And it's February 5th. And I bet you the statistics are that a lot of you didn't obtain your goal, that you stopped doing some of your goal. Like you kind of push it aside. You realize that it was hard. It wasn't going to work. You see, because a lot of times our intentions aren't going to get us to where we want to go. We have to have direction. And the same thing is true with anything that we invest into our life. Anything that we're trying to do in our spiritual life, we have to make sure that we understand our direction gets us to where we want to go, not our intention. Next, it takes time. It takes time. We live in a culture that we want what we want and we want it now. And in fact, it's our sinful nature, not just our culture, but it's who we are. It's what we are. We want what we want and we want it now. But what we have to understand is when you're investing for the long term and when you're thinking of where you want your life to go and how you want to get your roots to be deep in that good soil, you have to understand that it takes time. Roots just don't happen necessarily click overnight, just like that. Deep roots don't happen like that. It takes a daily grind. It takes making sure that you have the patience to see things through. And through the ups and downs of life, it's going to happen, but it takes time. And another thing is the last one, and this is another one that's really hard, discipline. It takes discipline. It takes saying no to good things so you can say yes to great things. I was having this conversation just yesterday morning with somebody, and we were talking about how we fill our lives with so many things. There's a lot of things out there that are good, and there's a lot of things that are okay and okay to do, and there's nothing wrong with those things. But we say yes to the good things, but then when the great things come along, we are so overwhelmed, we are so spent, we are so spread too thin that we do not have time to say yes to the great things because we said yes to the good things. Discipline is realizing and staying focused where you need to go even when you don't feel like it. Staying focused and saying no to certain things so that you can say yes to other things are important. It takes discipline in doing it. You talk about people, you know, when it comes to the, kind of their finances, that's the major thing is we want what we want and we want it now. That's our culture. That's our sin nature. That's who we are. But what it does is it says, I'm going to say no to that so that I can say yes to something else. It's going to say that even though I don't feel it right now, God, even though I don't feel you're close to me right now, I know that I'm going to remain faithful and I'm going to trust in you throughout it all, throughout the situation. But some just basic and principles of direction of investing are direction, time, and discipline. So is what we are investing in going to help you be in the fertile soil, help you to be in the good soil? So I want you to pause for a second. I want you just to think, am I investing in things that are going to get me where God wants me to be, where God is leading me to be? Am I becoming the person that God wants me to be? Whew. Because that can be a tough question, if we're honest, and if we really peel back the layers at times. Is it true that what we're putting our time in and what we're putting our efforts in and what we're doing is we're investing to be part of that good soil? So this is going to be today. It's the next 2 weeks we're going to talk about this idea a little bit. So today we're going to talk a little bit about things that you can invest in that's going to help you to get you where to keep you in the good soil, to keep you in the fertile soil. And so staying in the fertile soil by investing in the Word of God. And this is crazy. Listen, I understand this. This is a hard thing. So I want you to tell you, when I was a senior in high school, I don't remember exactly where I was, but in high school, I went to church. You know, some of you guys were my youth leaders that are sitting out there. I get this. And I was sitting there, and I was baffled by the Bible. I was confused. I didn't get it at all. It didn't make any sense. And this is the thing. And some of you are going to laugh, and some of you are going to be like, what are you talking about? But I could not figure out how Joseph in Genesis lived so long to be Jesus' dad. Like, I could not figure that out. Like, how could Joseph in the Old Testament live so long to be Jesus' dad in the New Testament? That's where I was when it came to the Bible. Like, I believe it's true, but how in the world did it do? Because I was shallow. I didn't quite understand. I wasn't there yet studying the Bible and trying to figure that out. But this is the thing, is we live in a nation that is biblically illiterate. It is crazy, and the Bible is such an important thing. It's what we can base our life on, and it's what we can, it can guide us. It can give us comfort. It gives us direction. It gives us joy, all of those things that it can give it, but we spend very little time at it. You see how blessed we are as a nation and as a society? We can download the YouVersion Bible app, and we can take the Word of God with us wherever we want. We can take an actual hard, I know this is crazy in this day of age, but there are actually Bibles out there that are pages. We have those. I know it's amazing to some of you, but we can read those and we can study those. And how awesome it is that we live in a time of life where we have the Word of God and access to it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time. But why is it so often, because of our access and because we have of it, how come we neglect it so often? It's there, and we believe that it's the rule of our faith, and we get confused by it, and we don't understand what it is, and we don't understand it because we haven't taken the time to actually study the Word of God and peel back the layers and realize that there are 66 books that are divided into the Old Testament and New Testament, and it's there, and it's a beautiful story with one author kind of using many human authors to write one story all about the beauty and the glory of God. We don't understand that sometimes those books that are in the Bible are different types of literature, and that we have to take that into consideration. Some of them are history books, some of them are letters, some of them are what we would call gospels, some of them are prophetic books, some of them are wisdom literature books. But the fact of the matter is that the Bible is compiled of one story. The Old Testament, the whole purpose for the Old Testament is to point to the coming Messiah, is to realize that Jesus is the Messiah and Jesus is coming. And so that's what's important of the Old Testament is. And the New Testament is we start with the four Gospels and we realize that they're all about biographies of Jesus and all those things and what he came and he did and how much that he loved us. And I wonder why is it in our lives that we claim to be followers of Jesus, but we neglect his words so incredibly much? And we don't know some of the things. Listen, and I'm not talking about you have to go and you have to instantly know everything in the Bible. Absolutely not. But you can start. You can realize that Joseph in Genesis isn't the Joseph that's Jesus' dad in the New Testament. It's completely two different Josephs, right? And you start somewhere and you start to figure it out and you start to see the beauty and the masterpiece that is the Word of God. You see, we're biblically illiterate, and these are true. I looked these up this week. This is from these. Less than half of Christians can name four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Less than half of Christians. First four books of the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most Christians cannot name more than three disciples. 60% cannot name more than five commandments. 82% of Americans think this is a verse. God helps those who help themselves. They believe that's a verse. It's not a verse. But if I needed because 82%, that's a lot. 12% believe that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife. I kind of threw that one in there because it just made me laugh. I hope you were not one of the 12%. But if you were, sorry to break the news to you today that Joan of Arc and Noah lived at completely different times. So, but this is the thing. If you want to be in good soil, if you want to be fertile, start studying the Word. Start understanding what it's about. Seeing how it fits together and why it's important. Next, if you want to be in good soil, get involved in church. And I'm not sitting here telling you that you have to be involved in church every Sunday or every Wednesday, but that's besides the point. But if you want to stay in the good soil and you want to be encouraged by other believers and you want to realize the importance of how you can be more than you are currently and how you can grow in your life, you have to be involved in church. The church is important. I mean, if Jesus died for the church, if he died for his bride, and the bride is his church, if he died for them, then if church is important to Jesus, it should be important to us. And so church is simply this. It is where we can worship God. It's an opportunity for us to pause out of our daily lives to come here and worship God. God does not need you to come to church, okay? Like, listen, kids, adults, God does not need you to come to church. He does not need that. I want to make that very clear. Church is a chance for us, and when we worship, it becomes a response to who he is, and that is what truly worship is, and we're worshiping him because of who God is, not because he, quote-unquote, needs us to worship him, okay? We're worshiping him because our response to him, because of who he is, for what he has done, for how he has redeemed us, for who he is, and that's why we come and we get involved in church. Next, it's an opportunity for us to connect with other believers, because you know what? We look around this room, and if we would sit down and we would talk about our struggles in life, you would realize that you are not alone in the struggles in which you have. You would realize that some of the things and some of the situations in which you are dealing with and struggling with, other people that are sitting next to you are dealing with those same sort of issues and can relate to you in some of those things. And so it's a chance for us to connect with other believers and be encouraged by other believers. And also it's a chance for us to use our gifts. Each one of you is gifted in certain ways. Listen, I can come up here and I can probably share a sermon with you. Some would say that's a gift. Some would say that I wish Ed was here. We wish he was speaking. I get that. That's fine. However you want to take it, I don't care. But I am not gifted when it comes to music. There is no way that I'm going to come up here and sing. Ever. All right? Like, that's just not happening. Because I'm not gifted that way. But these ladies that were up here this morning, they're gifted in that way. And church provides an opportunity for them to use their gifts in that way. Because God has wired you in a specific way and has gifted you with certain abilities. And not everything is about being on the stage. Sometimes it's about being able to work and shovel snow and put salt down and make sure you can fix things. You know, those are gifts and abilities that people have as well. You know, and those are important. And the church provides that opportunity for us to use those gifts and abilities. You know, God doesn't need you to come to church. All right, I want you to understand that. But church is more of a voluntary thing as we want to go because it's an opportunity for us to do those things that were up there. to worship, to connect, to use our gifts. You want to stay in the fertile soil? Invest in yourself. And let me be very careful with this one. I know Ed talked last week about, you know, making sure that we die to ourselves and 100%, and this doesn't contradict this at all. With that said, there are certain things that we can do to invest in ourselves, like investing in the Word, like investing in church, in order to help us to become healthier and also help us to stay in the good soil and get us to the direction in which we want. So you need to make sure you take care, invest in your heart. Invest in your spiritual life. Take ownership of it. It's not something just to necessarily check off for the day to make sure that you keep your streak in the Bible app going, okay? It's not necessarily that. It's got to be more intimate than that. It has to be that you are really trying to form and grow and get to know Jesus even more. Next, invest in relationships with people. And next week, that's kind of what we're going to talk about even more. That's why it's kind of shallow here today. But we're going to talk about investing in others next week. Invest in some skills. Use your skills that God has wired you. Grow those skills. If you are a great leader, grow as a leader. You know that you need to grow. If you are great at music, grow as a leader. If you want to make sure that you read more, grow and learn how to do that. If you want to grow in your Bible knowledge, grow and do that. But develop your skills that are there. And next, be healthy. I mean, I think it's so important, and we don't talk about it a lot, and I'm not saying that I'm the poster for always being healthy because I love Dairy Queen, all right? Let's just be honest. It's good, all right? But you have to understand that being healthy is a spiritual thing as well, and it's a spiritual goal. You know, we claim as Christians that our body is the temple, but yet what are the garbage that we put into it all the time, and what are the things in which we do that we shouldn't eat and we shouldn't do and we don't exercise? Listen, if you maintain healthy, you're going to be able to do your mission that God has you here longer and better. And that's important. And I teach PE at the Strong Roots and Victory as well. And that's kind of the idea that the premise that we have is I want kids to not only learn the games and move and be healthy, but I want them to understand that being healthy is an aspect of being spiritual as well. And that you yourself, you know, the healthy you are, the longer that you can be used by God the way that He wants you to be used. Focus on those things when it comes to investing in yourself. And last, focus on staying in the fertile soil, repenting and refocusing. Because guys, oftentimes if you're like me, you realize that the different times in your life that you go a direction in which you shouldn't go, and you do things in which you shouldn't do, because that's partly it's our nature. But what's important is we realize that. We repent, we turn away, and we refocus on where it should be. And all of us are deserving the wrath of God. All of us are deserving God. All of us are deserving, because of our sin nature, to spend eternity without Jesus. But because of His redemption, because of Him sending His Son to redeem us from our sins, we have access to Him. And we have opportunity to have a life of freedom, a life that is guilt-free, a life where we get to live for Him. Repent and refocus. And I think sometimes we forget that thing because we don't realize how evil we are at times. Let's be honest. We don't realize how bad we all are. And I know that's a negative concept. However, the positive thing is we have no grasp and no concept on how great and big the grace of God is. And it's so huge and it's so big. And it's why we have access to Him. It's why we have a chance for eternity with Him. And listen, the goal isn't heaven. The goal is Jesus. Being with Jesus. I mean, you see these great pictures of heaven with gold roads and mansions and all this kind of stuff. And that's all nice. But when it comes down to it, our goal is Jesus. Our goal is to be in the presence of Jesus. So when it comes to you investing, make sure that your direction is going the way that it should. Make sure you have the discipline and make sure you're allowing the time for growth. You're not going to leave here today and all of a sudden be a Bible scholar tomorrow. It won't happen. But listen, you can leave here today and you can start to take small steps towards understanding the Word of God. You need help. You want guidance on where to go? Come talk to me. I'd be more than happy to sit and talk to any of you about that and learn and grow in that area with some of you. But it takes direction, discipline, and time. So let me ask you this. As Mandy comes back up and the worship team and the prayer team can come over here. What are you invested in? What do you need to invest in? Do you need to invest more in the Word? Do you need to invest in the church? Do you need to invest in yourself? Do you need to invest in presence and repentance? So would you bow your heads with me for a second? And just as Mandy can, she can softly play if she wants. In this moment, would you just pause for a second? We don't do it a lot in our lives. We're so busy. Where are you at when it comes to your relationship with Jesus? What is it that you need to start investing in to stay in that good soil? Prayer needs, or you would love to come and pray with our prayer team, we invite you to come do that. Father, we ask you this today. We ask you to work in our lives and work in our hearts. Reveal to us areas in our lives where we fall short. Father, help us not to be guilty by that, but to be motivated by that. Motivated to realize that you've revealed the Word to us, and it's so important for us to study and understand and know. Father, we ask forgiveness for the times in which we have neglected and we have invested in the wrong things. God, would you give us guidance to know when to say yes and when to say no? Love you, God.